Coral reefs are dying all over the planet. And sharks respond to what? Those and other stories for the week ending October 11th, 2015.
I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin. And it's This Week in Water.
Last week, scientists said that we are now witnessing a massive worldwide environmental event. Coral bleaching.
Bleaching occurs when warm ocean waters stress organisms and kill off algae that provide corals with their color and nutrients. Without them, they turn white and can die.
After corals die, reefs quickly degrade. There is then less shoreline protection from storms and fewer habitats for fish and other marine life, including ecologically and economically important species.
The coral problem has been observed in Hawaii and is now seen in the Caribbean. It began in the North Pacific in the summer of 2014 and expanded to the South Pacific and Indian Oceans in 2015. This event is likely to continue into the next year.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration noted last week that coral bleaching and disease is brought on by climate change coupled with events like the current El Niño.
One NOAA official said that to solve the long-term coral problem, we need to understand how to reduce the unnatural carbon dioxide levels that are the major driver of the warming.
The flooding that occurred last week in South Carolina had a devastating impact. At least 17 people lost their lives, and damages will likely surpass $1 billion.
In some areas of the state, more than 20 inches of rain fell in a short time. Many people are facing severe losses because their homes weren't covered by flood insurance, mainly because they weren't in an area that was considered a flood zone.
But the larger question is whether this storm and others are occurring due to climate change. One scientist, Michael Mann of Penn State, told CNBC that the rainfall can be attributed to record high sea levels, which add moisture to the air.
He noted that climate change is increasing the probability of these storms, and that they're really no longer 1,000-year events.
A study late last month concluded that powerful storms that might have occurred along the New Jersey and New York coast every 500 years or so are now likely to occur every 25 years.
According to one insurance company, the South Carolina flooding is the 6,000-year rain event in the U.S. since 2010.
Fracking has been linked to premature births and high-risk pregnancies.
A study done by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health shows that the controversial method of extracting oil and gas is associated with a 40% higher premature birth rate for mothers who live in areas of intense drilling and fracking operations.
And their pregnancies were 30% more likely to be high risk than those of mothers not living in drilling areas.
The study focused on fracking in Pennsylvania, where in 2006 there were only about 100 unconventional wells, but now there are more than 8,000.
The leader of the study, Brian Schwartz, said in a statement that the growth of the fracking industry has gotten way ahead of our ability to assess both the environmental and public health impacts.
He added that policymakers need to consider these findings in allowing this industry to go forward.
The oceans of the world are in rough shape, from plastic pollution and overfishing to acidification from carbon emissions. But this week there's much good news to report.
We just got a bit closer to the UN's goal of protecting 10% of the oceans by 2020. At last week's Our Ocean Conference in Chile, several countries declared plans to protect the world's marine ecosystems.
Starting with the host country, Chile, which announced plans to create two massive marine conservation parks in its Pacific waters.
The first will be around what are called the Desventuradas, or Unfortunate Islands. A two-day trip from the Chilean coast, the islands contain pristine deep underwater mountains with species new to science.
The second reserve will be around Rapa Nui, or Easter Island as we know it. Famous for its stone statues, Rapa Nui waters are a spawning ground for tuna, shark, marlin, and swordfish. Commercial fishing will be banned from the area, but the indigenous peoples, who were involved in designing the sanctuary, will be able to continue their traditional fishing practices.
Combined, the two conservation areas would protect more than 350,000 square miles, larger than the country's total land mass.
The United States used the conference to reveal plans for two proposed marine sanctuaries, one in the tidal waters of the Potomac River that provides important habitat for rare and endangered species, and the other as a national underwater shipwreck preserve off of Lake Michigan in Wisconsin.
These commitments come on the heels of New Zealand's plans to create a vast ocean sanctuary off its northeast coast.
But the conference wasn't only about marine sanctuaries. It also took on the problem of agricultural pesticides and fertilizer runoff contributing to ocean dead zones.
Possibly the most significant initiative from the conference will be plans to regulate the world fish trade. According to the World Wildlife Fund, global marine populations are half what they used to be in 1970. And finally this week, since we're talking about oceans, are you a fan of Shark Week and happen to have heavy metal in your playlist? If so, then this story's for you.
A Discovery Channel crew, filming recently for the enormously popular show Bride of Jaws, was on the hunt for a humongous 16-foot great white nicknamed Joan of Shark.
In an effort to be more eco-friendly, instead of tossing chum into the water, they blasted death metal through an underwater speaker.
They didn't lure in Joan the Shark, maybe she'd prefer a different song, but they did manage to attract two other great whites.
It seems that sharks are able to hear nearby prey, so to speak, by tuning into subtle vibrations in the water.
Apparently, the dense throbbing sounds of metal rock are a near perfect match to the low frequencies emitted by struggling fish.
Using rock music to attract the animals isn't new. It was first discovered by a tour guide operator in Australia.
Mark Waller told Australian Geographic magazine that sharks don't have ears, they don't have long hair, and they don't headbang past the cage playing air guitar, but they do love themselves some AC/DC.
This Week in Water is a production of H2O Radio and is sponsored by Colorado WaterWise. Learn more at coloradowaterwise.org.